Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Good morning and welcome. Yes, it is Monday, but we're going to make it great. It is 6:08. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And yeah, we are going to make Mondays great. It's what we do. It is how we roll. All right. Trump raising tariffs. Mexico, Canada, China. Due to the drug crisis, this has to do directly with fentanyl. All these countries have to do is to make the appropriate adjustments, and then these tariffs can be rescinded. They go into effect, I believe, tomorrow. All right. And, it's interesting. Everybody, all the prices are going to go up. That's what they say to me. All the prices are going to go up. Well, nothing's happened yet. And already, just the talk of tariffs has made the dollar stronger. So we'll see. And this is another, like, tactical, strategic thing that the president has engaged in the past with great success. So I'm fully supportive of the president, and he has to take action. Or do you want more fentanyl coming into the country, killing Americans? Of course not. This is one of the many ways that is going to be dealt with. Secretary of State Marco Rubio already really hard at work and making a difference.
He's on the road.
It would appear. Yeah. Yeah. He apparently is convinced Panama's president, Jose Raul Moreno, to opt out of renewing its agreement with China. You know, their Belt and Road Initiative. Moreno confirmed on Sunday after meeting with Rubio during his visit to Panama that Panama would not be renewing the BRI agreement. They became the first Latin American country to sign onto the Belt and Road Initiative in 2018. That's a year after Panama cut diplomatic ties with Taiwan. In 2017, China scored a major victory when Panama cut diplomatic ties with Taiwan and recognized Beijing instead. Panama has been one of the few countries worldwide to recognize Taiwan as a sovereign state. The following year, Panama became the first American country to sign on to the Belt and Road Initiative. Chinese leader Xi Jinping's signature global infrastructure program, which is aimed at enlarging China's geopolitical heft and countering American influence. I was listening to Marco Rubio yesterday in a lengthy interview with Megyn Kelly, and I've said this before. I use the term, he really covers the bases. I think that his worldview, his vision, is extremely similar to Donald Trump's. So I think that they're going to be working splendidly together, and I think this already could be chalked up as a success. I mean, we'll see, but for this early on, what, 10 days, something like that? And he's already gotten Panama to pledge this change. That really is, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, way to go, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. I think that, that's going to be considered a big win if it goes, you know, the way we think it will go, if it continues. That is going to be something that they can definitely put on their list of accomplishments.
China's not going to be happy.
No, they're not. No, they're not. And the way that Rubio, you know, positioned China, he said, look, China, you know, they have their mission that they want to be the number one world dominating superpower. That is their goal, whether it's 2035 or 2050, whatever the date is, that is their goal. And he says, you know, it's okay for a country to have its own goal to be successful. He says the problem is when it comes at the expense of America, right, or Americans. That is a problem. So it's one thing if you succeed and you have this well-oiled machine and this plan, but it's not going to come at our expense, at least not when Donald Trump is in charge and Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. So it was comforting, I guess, to hear him talk about China in such a way. The focus needs to be on the things that China is doing and to decouple from them as much as we can as we go. And that means a lot, like bringing back some manufacturing here and actually, you know, building things here. There's a lot of things that we can do in this country, and we should be doing them. And we can't be reliant on what is basically our, you know, I hate to use the word enemy, but...
Well...
What did Joe Biden like to say? They're competition, healthy competition. Well, we look at things different from a competitive standpoint. They want to win at all cost.
And they want everything.
Yes. And our mentality has been, you know, victory without honor is hollow. In other words, we're not going to go into their country and, like, dump steel and play that game.
Right.
In other words, they'll do it at all costs, win at all costs. That's different. And that's why you have to be careful when you use the word competition. Because competition would say, well, to measure competition, you have to keep score and you have to have rules. And the rules are something they don't seem to be all that concerned about.
No, they're playing their own game and don't care what happens.
Don't know if they'll be selling a lot more brush guards and other apparatus in the Los Angeles area, but I can tell you this.
Yeah.
Bunch of protesters waving Mexican flags shut down the 101 freeway in downtown L.A.
Oh, I wonder where you were going with brush guards. Now I get it.
I'm thinking.
Now I get it.
That's a great one for, you know, try this in a small town or, you know what I mean? Try that in Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, those.
Now that I have one, I'm going, oh.
Yeah, those big tires. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't wish anybody harm, but it is like.
Don't get in front of me.
It's a public safety thing.
Yes, it is.
You can protest. You can hold signs. Absolutely. But not block traffic. As soon as you do that, to me, all bets are off. Because you tell me that, you know, you're being surrounded by some sort of crowd and you're stopped in traffic, that you wouldn't fear for your life?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Then, yeah. So where do you go from there?
That's
why it's bad for everyone.
Seen too many videos in our life of what
absolutely
happens.
All right, so this happened Sunday. Yeah, they're waving Mexican flags in opposition to ongoing ICE raids in the city and elsewhere in the U.S.
You're proving a point by doing that.
Yeah, well, they're illegally protesting the legal deportation of illegals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While waving a flag of another sovereign country, not the one you are in at the moment.
Correct. According to CBS News, California Department of Transportation reported on X, District 7, 101 freeway closed in both directions between 110 freeway and Mission Road. Meanwhile, LAPD reported major gridlock along Spring Street, Main Street, Los Angeles Street, and northbound, southbound lanes of the 101 freeway.
Wow.
Yeah. Nope.
Don't go for that stuff.
We don't.
Yeah.
We don't play that game.
No.
Obviously, we have a lot to talk about on the show today. It's the Bob Rose Show, available on podcast, wherever you normally download your podcasts, like the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Coming up, Elon Musk locks out a bunch of government employees. I'll explain next on 97.3 The Sky.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Audacy app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday. We're going to make it great. It's 6:21. Time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy and the annual Sporting Clays Tournament to benefit the Ronald McDonald House is coming up. What is it? This Friday already?
Man, that is sneaking up on us.
It did, yeah.
But it's the 3rd of February already. Friday is the 7th, and that's going to be at Bradford Sportsman's Farm. Always a great event. A lot of folks, a lot of Sky listeners always there. So hopefully you get out there and check it out.
Yeah. What is it? The Bradford Sportsman Complex?
Sportsman's or Farm. Yeah, they call it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they host some great events, and this is definitely one of them, and it's this Friday.
Yeah.
For more information, just go to Ronald McDonald House website. It'll all be on there because we are the official radio sponsor of the Ronald McDonald House, and they do fantastic work.
Absolutely.
Yep, proud to be a part of it.
Yep.
Elon Musk and locking people out.
That's, what?
Is that not nice? No, we'll get into that first. It was on this day in 1959 that the music stopped.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The music died.
The day the music died.
They should have written a song about that.
They did.
Really?
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Yes, Don McLean, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Probably, especially depending on your age, are much more familiar with the song, maybe, than the event that it's based on, because it happened in 1959 on this day.
Wow.
Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, all died in a plane crash, and along with the pilot, and they had a chartered Beechcraft Bonanza plane, and it crashed in Iowa a few minutes after takeoff from Mason City on a flight headed for Moorhead, Minnesota.
Do you remember who was actually supposed to be on the flight and gave up his seat? I know you know, but
yeah, he's
you
a country
remember?
Music superstar.
Yes. Come on, you can do this. You can do it. Come on.
The Outlaw, one of the Outlaw guys.
You are so right there.
Why can't I remember
and
his
it's
name?
It's not Willie, so it's got to be...
Yes.
The other guy, right?
It's the other guy. Why can't I? I've drawn a blank.
We always do that. Waylon Jennings.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be on it.
Yeah.
And who did he give a seat up to?
I think the Big Bopper.
He did. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But isn't it weird how so many things have... I mean, stop and think about that. If Waylon Jennings had not survived 1959,
right?
You know, would that whole Outlaws thing have happened? Would it have been different? You'd got no Willie and Waylon. I mean, it would have... Who sang the theme, you know, then the Dukes of Hazzard or whatever? I mean, so many things would have been different.
Well, and what if Buddy Holly, you know, had lived?
Yes.
And how much music would he have ended up, you know, and Richie Valens, for that matter?
Yeah, a lot of talent there.
So, all right.
The what ifs.
Yeah, this day, 1959, Elon Musk and his aides have locked career government bureaucrats out of their computer system.
I love this guy.
Yeah. And this is a part of, I guess, the government that they're part of a human resources agency. All right. So HR, can you imagine? You got a problem? You got a problem? You take it to HR.
Well, that they can't get their computer. Yeah.
I'm trying to get to HR. I sent them something. They are not responding. Well, that's because they can't get in their computers. Elon Musk, as you know, is the leader of Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, and he's got a lot of work ahead of him to try to slash government waste, fraud, and abuse. And he's installed allies, his friends, at the Government Resources Agency, known as the Office of Personnel Management. Reuters, citing government officials who spoke to the outlet anonymously, said career bureaucrats have had their access to government systems revoked. We have no visibility into what they are doing with the computer and data systems, one official said. That is creating great concern. There is no oversight. What do you mean there's no oversight?
They are the oversight.
They are, exactly.
You just don't like them.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I don't like, I don't like, we don't even have a boss. But yeah, your boss just told you who he was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yes. These are your overseers, Elon Musk and his friends. That's what President Trump wants. And I think most of the American people, or at least, you know, a good portion, want government to be more efficient. They want to cut waste and fraud and abuse. I mean, no matter all the programs, whether you like them or not, mm-hmm. wouldn't you want all of them to have less waste, less fraud and abuse? Of course, you know, I'd go further and say, okay, whatever programs are not, you know, effective. In other words, you have to look at it almost like a business. What's your return on investment? Are you accomplishing whatever the set goals were when you implemented of that entity? Right. And if it's not, you know, and you've given it a certain period of time and you say, look, we can't consider this successful. Okay, cut the cord, cut the plug, and all the associated expenses and resources that are tied to it. And it seems like almost you could probably play with a dart and a dartboard and go, you know, throw the dart and go, yeah, okay, let's take a look at that program and go through it. Are you going to keep it? Yes or no? If it's yes, okay, how do we make it more effective, more efficient, cut the waste? So the belly achers in the bureaucracy, this could create real cybersecurity and hacking implications. Oh, well, it's a good thing you've got somebody like Elon Musk and his experts around, you know? Who do you think's more likely to get hacked into?
Yeah.
Some government wonk or Elon Musk and his specific people? And apparently, they're doing it like old school Silicon Valley style. They're going in there and camping out. They brought in sofa beds. That's how they work. You know what I mean? If they were writing code or they were building a program,
I love it.
That's what they would do. They go in and camp and they go, oh, no, we're working around the clock. They're not kidding. And they really are. So OPM has sought to remove many in the federal government. The agency has sent out memos encouraging bureaucrats to take their buyout offers. You know, quit and take a vacation to your dream destination. Mm-hmm. And you would still get paid. It's for 8 months. The buyout package includes 8 months' pay. And so Musk's allies have really set up camp at the headquarters. They do. They work around the clock. A team, including current and former employees of Musk, assumed command of OPM on January 20th, the day Trump took office. They moved sofa beds onto the fifth floor.
Wow.
Yep, which contains a director's office. It can only be addressed with a security badge or a security escort. The sofa beds have been installed so the team really can work around the clock. One employee said, it feels like a hostile takeover. Really?
Yeah. The teacher's in the room now, and he can't do what you've been doing. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, sorry about the way things were done is not going to remain in place. Try to adapt or leave. 6:29 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got DHS Secretary Giddy Up. I'll explain what that's all about next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 6:38. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcasts. Just click on subscribe. Hey, the 27th annual Bob Rose Golf Scramble is coming up Friday, April 4th. We've always been blessed to sell this event out. It is the biggest fundraiser for the Arc of Alachua County that I'm proud to have my name on. And I'd love you to participate in the event. Still might be some openings for also people that I want to volunteer. Mm-hmm. So just let Mark Johnson know. You can call him directly at 352-246-3516. That's Mark Johnson at the Arc of Alachua County, and they do fantastic work with the developmentally disabled. And the Golf Scramble is coming up Friday, April the 4th, 12:30 shotgun start at Hawkstone Golf and Country Club. It is absolutely a beautiful place, and we're going to have an excellent time for a very good cause. So I hope you can be involved.
Folks are looking forward to it. I was getting got a text just Friday from somebody going, hey, I think I can get a foursome together. Can we still get in? Send them to the website, and it looks like they got signed up. So, yeah, it raised last year was almost $54,000.
Yeah, and that's been pretty close to, the 50,000 mark. And it all goes to benefit the Arc of Alachua County and the fine people that, if it wasn't for the Arc of Alachua County, would not have any quality of life, frankly, in most cases. All right. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. You know, I said, hey, this woman has hit the ground running. You know, she was in New York City and on some raids. Mm-hmm. Now, she's going giddy up riding horseback. Rio, Texas, apparently.
Nice.
Yeah. And that is really fantastic. She met with the Border Patrol staff, rank and file agents. She got an operational briefing. And, she announced her arrival at the border late Saturday night. And she did note that border crossings have dropped by 93%.
Wow.
Since President Trump took office. Now, I saw 60% or whatever, but I guess as we continue to go along day by day, the numbers continue to get better from our perspective.
She knows her way around a horse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And during a border crisis involving nearly 30,000, mostly Haitian migrants, making landfall across the Rio Grande near Del Rio, September 2021, that's where they were trying to say that they were whipping the people.
Yes,
remember that?
That was so stupid.
And yeah, and that was so wrong. And again, propaganda.
Yep.
Anything to damage the Donald Trump and his administration. So, yeah, but good for her. Like I say,
that's
she
awesome.
Is very involved, the exact opposite of the previous DHS secretary who...
You mean you sit in office and lie when they get called in front of Congress, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in a very nasty, smug way.
Always.
Yeah, like the attitude.
He always had an
attitude.
It's
like you're wrong, you're a liar, you're lying to the American people, and you have an attitude about it?
Yes.
You just want to punch him in the face.
Yes.
But apparently that's
roundabout. You do that, and then you're the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. A memorandum of understanding between Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, and the state of Texas will immediately grant Texas National Guard soldiers the authority to make immigration arrests within the Lone Star State.
Good. Good.
And this memorandum was authored by the CBP Acting Commissioner Pete Flores, and it hasn't been, printed out completely. In other words, not everybody's had access to read the whole thing. But it basically allows the Texas National Guard to work as, like Border Patrol and to make arrests as long as there's a representative there from ICE or Border Patrol.
I like that. That's
so,
smart.
Yeah, as long as they have somebody there in the unit, then the entire unit can act with arrest authority. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. The duties of the Texas National Guard soldiers are law enforcement related, generally reserved for agents assigned to specific agencies under the Department of Homeland Security. The latest granting of immigration arrest authority adds at least 3,000 Texas Army National Guard soldiers to the number of ATF, FBI, and United States Deputy Marshals who are now assisting DHS in enforcing federal immigration law. So the numbers continue to look better. less and less folks coming across illegally.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
And according to the Mexican president, Claudia Sheinbaum, the U.S. repatriated 5,282 migrants to Mexico during the first 7 days after Trump's inauguration.
Does it still sound weird to you that the president of Mexico's last name is Sheinbaum?
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound weird? It just does. I know it is what it is, but it's just funny to me.
She is the country's first female president. She spoke to reporters from Mexico's National Palace about several immigration issues. She provided statistics rewarding repatriations to Mexico during the first week after Trump took office. Said nearly 500 came on January 28th. She didn't provide exact numbers, I guess, not of Mexican origin, but it sounds like, if you extrapolate the numbers, about 1 in 4.
Right.
Are not actually Mexican nationals. So this would be the first time since the Biden administration ended the Trump era Remain in Mexico program that you had nationals from outside of Mexico returned to that country. So, and she didn't get into whether, you know, these were citizens or not, and what, you know, what the next move would be for those folks, if she would usher them out, or if they could remain in Mexico and apply for asylum. We'll see. All right. Trump cutting off funding, trying to gain leverage in over another country. Venezuela. They're starting to see the light and working with the Trump team. Very good. There's some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's all coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:45, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. It's another day in paradise. Yeah, I know it's Monday, but we're here to make it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
You doing all right?
Absolutely.
Recover from the weekend?
Oh, yeah, here we are.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Good times. Oh, I've got some good little anecdotal stories that I'll share with you.
Cool.
Coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Mm-hmm. So, President Trump, one of your top stories, raises tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China. Yep. Let's see. 25% Mexico, Canada, 10% on China. Oil coming from Canada, and we do get a lot from them, that's only going to be a 10% tariff. Mm. The separate White House document detailing the tariffs points to the extraordinary threat posed by illegal aliens and drugs, including deadly fentanyl. And it constitutes a national emergency under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The tariffs will remain in effect until the crisis is alleviated. According to a White House official, that order also includes a clause giving the president authority to expand its scope in the event of retaliation from these countries. President Trump is taking bold action to hold Mexico, Canada, and China accountable to their promises of halting illegal immigration and stopping poisonous fentanyl and other drugs from flowing into the country. All right. So, you know, those tariffs could go away, but he is asking for a real measured kind of response in stopping this fentanyl. A White House official said authorities seized enough fentanyl in Canada last year to kill nearly 10 million Americans. Although when you compare it to what's coming from the southern border, this is a drop in the bucket. But still, when a drop in the bucket can kill 10 million, that's probably something you need to address. And he is. That's the thing. He said on Friday that nothing could be done to make him reverse course from signing the orders on Saturday, pointing to the exorbitant amount of fentanyl deaths in America and trade deficits with all three of those countries. Now, of course, you know, the other side, they're going to cry, oh, the prices are going to go up. People are going to suffer. Well, people have already suffered, like when loved ones die from fentanyl overdoses, or when, you know, an illegal immigrant runs over their family. Right? Or kills, maims, murders, rapes, whatever, all that. So the president, as he claimed all along, was going to take strong and decisive action when he got into office. He absolutely is fulfilling that. At a major win, it would appear, for Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, already talked to the folks in Panama. the president there, Jose Raul Mulino. And it looks like that they are going to decouple themselves from the initiative and the agreement they had with China that they signed in, I believe it was 2017 or 2018. And they are going to opt out of their agreement with China. This is that Belt and Road Initiative that it's known as. And it was Marco Rubio that helped to convince that it was in their best interest.
I like that.
To do that.
He's off to a great start. Gotta love that.
During the meeting between Rubio and Mulino, the two discussed Panama's sovereignty, security, and economic relations with the U.S. While Rubio reportedly informed Mulino that President Donald Trump sees China's influence over the Panama Canal as a potential violation of the treaty concerning the permanent neutrality and operation of the Panama Canal, Mulino was reported as having emphasized that Panama's control over the canal was non-negotiable. So, you know, people had been saying that basically, look, China's running it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. How this will break down eventually. The two leaders also agreed to strengthen cooperation on regional security, curb illegal migration through the Darien Gap, and enhance investment opportunities for U.S. companies. So I think that's excellent news.
What if this will change anything on their perspective on Taiwan and China? And what if that will tie in anywhere long term? I mean, you hope that it does.
I think so. When these countries, and it's happened in Africa, they get in bed with the Chinese, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and the Chinese make them promises and stuff.
Sure.
Some they may deliver on, but then I think they also see how they get their claws in. And it's definitely not usually a balanced agreement. Once China gets in, they're going to their way with you, so to speak.
Well, and don't you think, and I kind of know the answer because I know we probably feel the same way on this as a lot of folks do, if it weren't for the weakness of the Biden administration for a lot of these decisions that have been made with other countries, just like with this with Panama, with China, I mean, it's the weakness that we've had in our leadership in Washington, D.C., that's allowed it to happen in the first place.
Well, and I think that Biden was a lot more interested in making money off of the Ukrainian war,
mm-hmm.
and making Putin, the bad guy, the boogeyman, and
sure.
focusing on that so that nobody would notice whatever Chinese monies and other things and how they've had their way in a lot of different areas.
Will we ever, probably not, ever know just how much influence the Chinese had over the Biden crime family and how that affected America?
Well, I mean, the mainstream media is not going to report on it, but there's already a good amount of information. There's a couple of books that that dig in at least a little bit, but yeah, the actual amounts and stuff could be far more than what they've dug up and seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
And the selling out of our country, really.
Oh. In so many ways.
President Trump announced Sunday that he is suspending all U.S. aid to South Africa because South Africa passed a law on land expropriation. And the fear is that this is going to lead to a Zimbabwe-style seizures of land owned by white citizens. South Africa received at least $273 million from the U.S., and Reuters actually put it at $440 million, and that includes funding for the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief. South Africa is also a key trade deals with the U.S., so he's going to withhold that and see if they can't straighten out legally what they're doing, because basically they're confiscating. They could turn into a confiscation of lands. It hasn't quite yet. But what happened in Zimbabwe was they just took the land away from the white farmers, gave it to the other locals, and who either weren't that interested in farming or just weren't very successful at it, and the country started to starve. Huh. All right. Happy Monday. You're listening to News Talk 97.3 The Sky.